topic will take charge after Brother Farah concludes the message, and you will elect your officers for the forthcoming year. Next Monday is your regular time to have your business meeting, but because of the deadline, it's essential that we do that today. So next Monday, you will have an opportunity to have all of your business that you need, and if then there is time available, then Brother Phillips will speak. So if there's 5 minutes left, Brother Phillips will speak 5 minutes. If there's 10, or 2 minutes, he'll use the 2 minutes. So I chose him today because he has on a striped suit. If someone else had on a striped suit, I would have perhaps chosen them, but that's the way it goes. So the clothes make the man, so that's why I chose Brother Phillips. Brother Farah is one of our faculty members. He has been on the faculty for a number of years, and I thank the Lord for his life because it has shown what determination he is able to do through the help of the Lord, and that a man just keeps on keeping on as the Lord gives him breath to breathe. And so Brother Farah is a man that is well loved by the faculty and the student body. You listen to him as he shares with you some of the wonderful things that he has discovered in the Word of God that he will bring to you this morning. Brother Farrell.
Thank you, Brother Potts. Turn to the book of Ephesians, chapter 1. Now, to save as much time, you can be turning there as I start reading. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, the Messiah, by the divine will, and incidentally, I'm reading from the Amplified, the purpose and choice of God to the saints at Ephesus, who are also faithful and loyal and steadfast in Christ Jesus. May grace, which is God's unmerited favor, and spiritual peace, which means peace with God and harmony, unity, and undisturbedness, be yours from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessings, that is, praise, eulogize, be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual, that is, Holy Spirit-given blessing in the heavenly realm, even as in His love He chose us, that is, actually picked us out for Himself as His own, in Christ before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy, consecrated or set apart for Him, and blameless in His sight, even above reproach before Him in love. For He foreordained or destined us, He planned in love for us to be adopted, revealed as His own children through Christ Jesus in accordance with the purpose of His will, because it pleased Him and was His kind intent. I'm going to try to speak this morning from the word adopted and what's involved in that. Noting again that He destined us, that He planned in love for us to be adopted. Revealed is the meaning of this word adopted as His own children through Jesus Christ in accordance with the purpose of His will, because it pleased Him and was His kind intent. The adoption that is spoken of here in the Scripture is not the kind of adoption that we know of here in the world. We commonly think of adoption as taking some child who is not any relation to the family by blood. He is taken into that family, gone through a legal procedure, and has taken him as one of their own children. And that is done in adoption. But this kind of adoption that we're talking about is one that's higher and one that I fear that we fail to grasp its full meaning. First, I want us to notice that we are children of God by relationship. Now, relationship simply means that we must be born from above. It means that we must have been spiritually born, that is, the depraved spirit of man, the dead spirit of man, must have been operated upon by Holy Spirit of God. And from this operation or this union, there comes forth in the believer a new spirit. That spirit that has been begotten of God and is now in union with God. So it becomes here spiritually born, hence it's a relationship by birth. And because of that, then there is the partaking of the divine nature. We are partakers of the divine nature. Therefore, the believer then is born of God. Now, adoption, not so much of relationship, but of putting the mature child, the son, into position as son. Now, I realize that there are those today who claim that a person can become a mature son in this life and that they're going to have a little special place in the life to come. But this maturity that we're talking about this morning is one that we don't necessarily have as yet. In Romans chapter 9 and verse 4, we read, "For they are Israelites, and to them belong God's adoption as a nation, and the glory Shekinah presence. With them were the special covenants made, to them was the law given. To them the temple worship was revealed, and God's own promises announced." Now, the nation of Israel was spoken of as adopted nation of God. Out from among all the other nations of the earth, God adopted this nation. What did this adoption mean? It meant the revelation of this nation as having been chosen of God and the nation in which the Shekinah light could glow. Not only that the Shekinah light could glow, but the special covenants or agreements were made with the nation of Israel. The law was given to the nation of Israel. To them were given the temple worship, and the promises of God were revealed. The Bible comes to us today through the nation of Israel, primarily because the nation of Israel was adopted from all the other nations of the earth and is the one nation that has been revealed in the world as the nation chosen of God for certain purposes. Now, I mentioned the several purposes that were involved in the adoption of the nation of Israel. Now, the believer is adopted, and this simply means that as a son redeemed from among the law, the time comes for his being revealed to the world, being revealed to God, being revealed as that son of God. In other words, looking like a son of God. Now, we don't look much like this morning. When Brother Patterson came down the hall this morning, I asked him, was he ready for the rapture? He's all dressed out in white this morning. Well, Brother Jones said that that kind of reminded him of the chickens down at Safeway. They say they have the cleanest chickens in town. Well, he's not yet adopted. Now the rest of us are, have the appearance. Now we're told in the scriptures, and incidentally, I couldn't help but think of this subject as you sang face to face with him. We're told in the scriptures that when we shall see him, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. I'll not understand the glorious Christ until I see him face to face, because I'm going then to be made in body like unto Jesus Christ. In other words, there will be the revelation, the uncovering, the showing forth to all creation. In fact, the business, this adoption day, will be like the old county fair day, when the people from a given area would bring in the best of their canned stuff, the most beautiful of the handwork that the ladies would do, the various crafts and so forth, the livestock, the vegetables, the parts of their crops and so on, and there would be a showing of this. You'd go and you'd go down and you'd see the best there was in the county or state or whatever territory was involved. Now, one of the first things that God is going to do after the resurrection and the translation is to have the adoption, the revealing of the sons of God. They then, and we then, will look like Jesus Christ looks. In the fourth chapter of Galatians, verses 4-6, we have these words. But when the proper time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born subject to the regulation of the law, to purchase the freedom, that is, to redeem, to atone for those who were subject to the law, that we might be adopted and have sonship conferred upon us, be recognized as God's son. And because you really are his, and now Paul was speaking about the Jews are going to have a part of this kind of adoption, because God is making a new humanity in Jesus Christ composed of both Jew and Gentile, he says to these Galatians, and incidentally, if you read the history of these fellows, they evidently culturally and otherwise were on the lowest part of the scale. I know I read it somewhere that they said that a Gaul was, to be a Gaul was to be a liar. And so he's writing to these Gauls or Galatians and says, because you are really his son, God has sent the Holy Spirit of his son into our hearts crying, Abba, Father, or literally, Father, Father. That is something that just cries out in us today like the cry of a little child. It's nature, it just naturally cries out for mother. There's that tie between the two, and it just cries mother. And my wife's sister was, she was grown when she had her tonsils removed. Back in that time, they had to go from Southeast Arkansas to the hospital at the University of Arkansas to have such as that done, because they didn't have hospitals in that area. And so when she was waking up, she began to call for mama. A grown woman calling for mama. Well, let's just put it this way, brethren. We never attain to the point that we can be independent from that something in us that was there when we were born again that cries out Father, Father God. Father, Father God, and the reason for that is that, I'm not what I once was. What I am today, I'm that by the grace of God. And thank God, I'm not what I once was, but I'm not yet what I'm going to be. And so the adoption, the mature sons of God, is the time of the revelation when God makes actualized in our spirit by the Holy Spirit that we cry, Father, Father. Now, the adoption is the full manifestation. Manifestation means a showing forth. As I mentioned a while ago about the old country fair, it's the full manifestation of the sons of God as the ones that God has for the administration of His coming government when His kingdom shall be in full sway over this whole earth beginning in the millennium. When these sons of God, looking like Jesus Christ, steps forth there before angels and whoever else might be looking upon, these are the ones who are going to be in position to rule and reign with Jesus Christ. We notice in Romans 8 and 23, and not only the creation, but we ourselves too, who have and enjoy the first fruits of the Holy Spirit, which is a foretaste of the blissful things to come, groan inwardly as we wait for the redemption of our bodies from the sensuality and the grave, which will reveal our adoption or our manifestation or our showing forth as the sons of God. I notice the contrast that goes on today. President Carter says he's born again. I'm not doubting that necessarily, but I'll tell you, he's got a brother that certainly doesn't show any signs of being born again, does he? Well, there's a pretty good contrast that we today with the old two natures. I don't look much like a son of God. I'm reading the book of Jonah, J-O-N-I. I recommend that every one of you read that book and read it carefully. Why? Well, in her suffering as almost a totally paralyzed person by an accident, paralyzed from her shoulders down, she wanted most of all to be healed, that she might live a normal life like other people did. Just because she was paralyzed didn't mean that her brain wasn't working as a normal human being's brain would work, and all the things that were natural to human beings, those were things that she wanted. But she had to learn how to do without and how to substitute to bring about other things. The wonderful thing about it was that she finally found out that God's purpose for her in life was that He might be manifested through her ability to take a pencil, put it in her mouth, and become a very skilled artist using what she had. Well, there came a time in her experience when, like anybody who is ill, you want to be healed. And she heard the cry of, as many Pentecostals put it today, it's God's will that everybody be well. Well, she wanted to be well, and she went and was anointed and so on, and there wasn't any difference. She was still Then, fortunately, she was blessed with being where there were some fairly mature Christians who realized that the healing part was but signs of the millennial kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so she lives with the glorious hope, expectation that she's going to be healed. She's going to have a body like the Lord Jesus Christ's body. In other words, free from all the flaws and everything that is common to human beings today. Now, Paul said that the creation is groaning in pain and so on. In other words, the disruption of the earth, the disharmony, the wind blows in a minor note, the birds sing in minor notes. What's wrong? The harmony is gone out of this creation because sin's in this creation. But God wills that this be free from that, and He's willed that there's going to be a people of redeemed sons of His, place in position associated with Jesus Christ to rule and reign, and they themselves be free from the groanings that we've got now for that glorious time. So, briefly, that's what the adoption is. It's when you and I are going to look at each other and we're going to look like Jesus Christ. And because we are heirs of God and we're to heir this creation, this old creation, then it's going to be brought out from under the curse of sin. And it's going to show forth the glorious liberty of the sons of God. Now, this in closing. As you progress in your schoolwork, as you progress in your ministry, there are going to be some times when the old flesh is going to stick out and it's going to say, oh boy, I tell you what, I'm a pretty good preacher now. I'm out ahead of so-and-so and this, that, and the other. And you begin to compare yourself or contrast yourself to somebody else and so on. And the old nature springs out there and so on. Paul said he hadn't attained, and he's a pretty old man, I think, when he said that. You just remember this. While we are sons of God inwardly, there's not anything much that shows in my face or my body or yours either that we're God's son. But let me tell you, when that trump sounds, when it's the shout of God, when the dead in Christ rise, when we that are alive and remain are changed in the moment, in a twinkling of an eye, made free in our entire triune being, free from all sin, then and only then are we really going to attain to that which God has made for us and bought for us through the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. And so may that hope, that expectation, that reality of that glorious day of adoption, when we not only look like Christ, but when we're going to possess our inheritance and use it to the honor and glory of God, to cause the angels throughout the ages to praise and glorify God more than they've ever done before. And finally, inhabit the new Jerusalem. And in that manner, God's going to dwell among the nations that will have been redeemed during the millennial reign, who will be upon the new earth. Anything in life greater than that? Any expectation here or the future greater than that? God help us to appreciate the doctrine. Thank you.
Amen.
Thank you, Brother Barrett. The special call session meeting. executive officer, the student body will be coming for this year. We'll need the president, vice president, assistant treasurer,